Hello and welcome back to Bases Loaded. I'm your host, as always, Eric Ellefson. And on this week's episode, we have a March Madness, not so much preview schedule as preview episode, as it officially kicked off last night with the men's tournament. 16 first round games taking place. We have another, slate of 16 games today, wrapping up the first round of the men's tournament. The women's tournament kicking off as well, with about, I think it's like maybe 4 or 5 games already completed. They started a little bit early today, I think, with like the first games around 10:30, local time of where they were starting from, with the men's games getting back into action around 10, 11, 15, somewhere in that range, which is pretty much how it's been, as long as I can remember. So we'll get a little bit into that, as, with the games yesterday, we already have second round matchups for the men's already scheduled, for tomorrow, with the times and stuff like that. And then, the winners of today's games will play on Sunday for the chance to go to the Sweet 16, which is next weekend. Or next Thursday, Friday for the Sweet 16, and then next Saturday, Sunday for the Elite Eight, with a shot to go to the Final Four in, I think it's in San Antonio this year, which is a pretty common Final Four host location for the men's and women's tournament. They've done it there a couple times as well. So yeah, we'll kind of get into more, a little bit more in depth of the games. Like with the women's, there's some men's games that have already taken place today. So we'll get a little bit into that. We'll discuss NBA season, as we're pretty much in like the last push, as I believe the playoffs are gonna, they usually start around mid-April. I think April 13th is like the last day of the season, and then they do like their play-in games. I think it might be like Tuesday through like Friday, so maybe the 15th through 18th, and then playoffs starting the 19th. I don't know, we'll see. They might, with the play-in tournament and stuff like that they do, it kind of not so much throws it out, but just kind of makes it a little bit more interesting with, them starting playoffs at a later, time. So we'll get a little bit into that, and then we'll preview the upcoming MLB season, which kind of started alright, which had like its first two games between the Cubs and Dodgers this Tuesday and this past Tuesday and Wednesday in Tokyo for the Tokyo series. So like, it was an official game, like it did count for, wins and stats, with the Dodgers unfortunately beating my Cubbies both games. And then the rest of the regular season will kick off next Thursday, the 27th. And then, we're off to start the season, pretty much. With 160, well, for the Cubs and Dodgers, 160 games left, and then for everyone else, a full 162-game schedule. So that'll keep us going until, October, early November. So yeah, getting into March Madness. Whoop. Men's tournament. We'll go, because they've already played a bunch of games. This isn't in order, I think, of games played yesterday. but it's what the order of which they're listed as it popped up on the ESPN app for me. I mean, being Wisconsin's my favorite team, you know, they're going to show first, which they kept it. It was a little close in that kind of first half at times. I watched up until, yeah, the first half on my lunch break from work, and they were winning 40-32 at the half. They ended up winning 85-66, so a nice comfortable 19-point win in the first round. I guess from reading kind of like, you know, game preview or game like breakdown, Montana got it within four on like two occasions, but then, you know, Wisconsin was able to, like, you know, pull ahead, as, you know, it's fairly common with these, like, you know, games that the top four seeds play with, like, you know, the lower seed, they stick around, you know, sometimes, you know, longer than others, where, like, you know, the first half they're kind of in it, and then the second half, like, you know, the higher seed will pull away, and then, you know, pretty much, you know, be like, yeah, this is why we're a top four seed in this tournament, and pull away. So, and then, so number one seed in the Midwest region, Houston, beat SIUE. I don't know who they are. Let's see. I don't know where they are. But, you know, pretty non-dramatically, 78-40, number one overall seed in the tournament. Auburn beat Alabama State 83-63. Tennessee, number two seed Tennessee advanced. Number two seed St. John's advanced. Both pretty evenly, Tennessee by 15, St. John's by 30. Number three seed Texas Tech beat UNC Wilmington 82-72. Four seed Purdue beat High Point 75-63. Number four seed Texas A&M beat Yale 80-70. That was pretty close at times. Like, Yale trying to cut it a little within single digits, and then, I mean, they only lost by nine, and then, so they got to single digits, but couldn't, you know, make it any closer. And the first kind of, the first upset of the tournament, number 12 seeded McNeese beat number 5 seed Clemson 69-67. Number 5 seed Michigan survived against UC San Diego 68-65. 6 seed BYU beat 11 seed VCU 80-71. Drake with another upset. Though they were kind of one of the, I think, pretty popular upset picks in the first round. An 11 over the 11 seed Drake over number 6 seed in Missouri. Arkansas, or 10 seed Arkansas beat number 7 seed Kansas 79-72. UCLA took care of Utah State 72-47. Creighton beat Louisville 89-75. I think that was the first game of the day, I believe. And then number 8 seed Gonzaga beat 9 seed Georgia 89-68. So for tomorrow, we have number 3 seed Wisconsin against 6 seed BYU. 4 seed Purdue against 12 seed McNeese. 2 seed St. John's at 10 seed Arkansas. 4 seed Texas A&M against 5 seed Michigan. 3 seed Texas Tech against number 11 seeded Drake. 1 seed Auburn against number 9 seed Creighton. Number 1 seed Houston against number 8 seed Gonzaga. And then number 2 seed Tennessee against number 7 UCLA. And then today, we've had, let's see, number two seed Alabama beat Robert Morris 90-81, Iowa State took care of Lipscomb. 82-55, Baylor held on to beat Mississippi State 75-72. And then another upset, 12 seed over 5. Colorado State beat number 5 seed Memphis 78-70, and I think that game just went final a couple minutes ago. And then currently playing right now, we have number 1 seed in the East region, Duke, beating 16 seed Mount St. Mary's 54-28 at halftime. Number 10 seed Vanderbilt leading number 7 seed St. Mary's 29-20. And then that is with 59 seconds left in the first quarter or first half. And then number 6 seed Ole Miss is beating number 11 seed North Carolina 14-10. And that is with less than 15 minutes to go in the first half. And then starting at 3:35, we have 4 seed Maryland against 13 seed Grand Canyon. 5:15, number 1 seed Florida against 16 seed Norfolk State. 6:10, number 3 Kentucky against number 14 Troy. 6:25, number 7 Marquette against number 10 New Mexico. 6:35, number 4 Arizona against number 13 Akron. And then the night games, 4 night games at 8:25. The 2-time defending champion, UConn, against the 9 seed Oklahoma. Numbers at 8:45, 6 seed Illinois against 11 seed Xavier. At 9, 2 seed Michigan State against number 15 Bryant. And then wrapping up the first round, we have at 9:10, number 5 seed Oregon at number 12 seed Liberty. So yeah, on Sunday, you know, to be announced time-wise, but number 2 seed Alabama and 3 seeded Iowa State. So, I think today has a little bit more exciting games than yesterday. I mean, yeah, other than, like, you know, McNeese against Clemson, Drake over Missouri. Those are, like, the big upsets. I mean, we had a 10 over, you know, 10 Arkansas over 7 Kansas. I mean, those 7-10 games and 8-9 games are always, like, it's not really much of an upset because they're so close seeded-wise. They'll let you out the 10 or 9 seed wins. It's, you know, it's not a 15 seed beating a 2 seed or anything like that, so it's not really as big of an upset. You know, I mean, Creighton did beat Louisville by 14. Everyone else, yeah, pretty, I mean, yeah, Texas Tech won by 10, Purdue by 12, Texas A&M by 9, Michigan by 3. So, like, there was some, like, pretty other chances for some upsets. You know, the higher seeds just trying, you know, hang around, usually, like, you know, that's why they're the highest seed, like, you know, talent-wise, they're able to pull through in advance. So, yeah, I did, for men's tournament, I did 5 brackets, which is pretty typical for me. You know, I'm not going to do a whole lot, because you can, like, make up to 25 through the ESPN Tournament Challenge, which is what I do, because I already use the ESPN Fantasy app for fantasy football. So, again, you know, with fantasy football, it's just easy. You just kind of put your team in, and then, you know, it does all the scoring. You don't have to worry about anything. I mean, it's a lot easier with fantasy football or March Madness. It's like, you know, you either get it right or you don't. So, and then, you know, like they always do, like, next week when it's a Sweet 16, you know, they'll do, like, you know, a second chance, you know, tournament challenge. from the Sweet 16 to the, you know, the national championship game. So, and then I usually do three. I have three women's brackets. Two of them, I'm 100%. Let's see. For one bracket, I have USC winning, another UConn, and then my third one, UCLA. Let's see. Where are the games that have happened? Yeah, so Kansas State over Fairfield by 44 points, and then Kentucky held on to beat Liberty 79-78, 4 versus 13 matchup. Let's see. I got number 9 Indiana over Utah correct. They'll play pretty much South Carolina. South Carolina, the defending champions, beating Tennessee Tech 30-11 with 31 seconds in the first quarter. Because they play quarters for some reason. Women's college basketball, they play like the same amount of time as the men's. Like they play 4 10-minute quarters. The men play 2 20-minute halves. So it winds up being, you know, 40 minutes. But, so, you know, that's kind of interesting. And then men's tournament, I'm in a group as well for one of them. My first bracket, I mean, just three of us with my mom and soon-to-be future sister-in-law. I'm tied for second place. I mean, let's see. I mean, 10 points behind. Though they're 98%. Though I can get, well, my mom still has the opportunity to get the most points. So someone from my sister-in-law-to-be must have gotten out if she can only get like 64. Let's see. I was staying. Oh, Memphis. Oh, no, she got Memphis right. Or I should say Colorado State over Memphis. Missouri beating Drake, which didn't happen. Baylor right. Wisconsin, BYU, Alabama. She picked Clemson, so it looks like beat McNeese and then beat Purdue. Ooh, she had Clemson going to the Elite Eight, that's why, that'll do it. Because, yeah, if you get them wrong, like, you are pretty, not so much that, but if you get, like, your, you know, like, first, one of the first round games, if you did like a Sweet 16 or Elite Eight team wrong, or no, not wrong, yeah, wait, well, if you did, like, if you pit them to go to like the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight and they lose in round one, you know, that's gonna lose your opportunity to, like, you know, get points. Oh, I know, I have the opportunity to get the most amount, but only by 20. The max I can get for this bracket is 1,880 points, 20 points higher than my mom's. I have Florida winning in this group. I did five. No, get back. There we go. So I did five brackets. Let's see. I have Florida winning two of them, Duke winning two of them, and then Houston winning the other one. So let's see. My first two brackets where I have Florida winning, my rank, I'm 91.6 percentage wise. Let's see. I mean, how many points do I have? 160, and the max you can have is 200, so I've gotten for Ron. Yes. Let's see who I got Ron. Louisville over... I picked Louisville to beat Creighton. But, I mean, I had Auburn beating Louisville anyway, so that's not a big deal. Texas A&M and Michigan right, okay. Iowa State right. I picked North Carolina to win, and they were losing 26-14 against Ole Miss right now. 10 minutes, just over 10 minutes left in the first half. So I mean, not terrible. Still plenty of time left. Let's see. I got Colorado State over Memphis, right? Okay. I picked Drake over Missouri, Texas Tech. I did pick Kansas over Arkansas. But I do have St. John's beating... I did have them beating Kansas in the second round. So not that big of a loss. I got Baylor wrong. But again, they are going to be playing Duke. So I have... I mean, Duke winning. So I mean, not a big... deal... have St. Mary's over Vanderbilt. They're losing 22-29 at halftime. Houston right, Gonzaga right. I picked Clemson wrong, but I had Purdue beating Clemson. So I'm doing okay for this one because a lot of the teams I had that lost, I had them losing in the second round anyway. So like, it wasn't that big of a deal. And you get more points as you move on. So like the first round games are worth 10 for each threat. Second round is 20. Sweet 16 is 40. Elite 8 is 80. Final 4 is 160. And then the national champion is 320. I'm pretty sure. So I'm doing pretty all right. You know, again, we're about almost halfway through first round games for today. So I'll see how it goes, and then I'll obviously I might do like maybe 10, second chance brackets once those are available, I think. Maybe it's Tuesday. Monday or Tuesday, they'll go up where you can like, you know, is your bracket busted already, or something like that, and then, you know, enter for a chance, you know, to do it all over again from the Sweet 16 on to the national champion, you know, for a chance to win, you know, cash prizes and stuff like that. So, you know, pretty fun. And, you know, it's all in fun. Because you're never going to get, like, the perfect brackets. If a perfect bracket ever happens in my lifetime, that's going to be a surprise. Because I think it was, like, I don't remember how many years ago. I want to say it was in the last 10 years. Or 11 years since I... you know, graduated high school, that someone had like a perfect bracket, you know, past like the first weekend. So they had all the Sweet 16 teams right. And I think they got like, they were invited to like a game, a Sweet 16 game or something like that. And I think that's the closest anyone's really gotten. Because I remember like, I think when I was like in middle school and then high school, like some like billionaire, millionaire, something like that was like, there's a perfect bracket this year, I will give them like $1 million or something like that. And I think he kept doing that until like he passed away, like offering like, if someone has a perfect bracket, you know, I'll give them $1 million. So, you know, maybe it's possible it can happen. You know, I mean, I've never had a perfect bracket. The closest I've gotten is I had a perfect bracket after, like, the first day of round one games. And then it went downhill pretty quickly. So that's, like, you know, the closest I've gotten. And I had, it was perfect after one day. And then I think that Second day, I thought I got like one or two right to begin with, maybe three, and then it just kind of went downhill real quick. So, you know, not the best, but I mean, that's usually how it goes at times, or just, so, you know, but like with Nancy, it's all fun. It's just fun to do, and, you know, whatever happens, happens, and, you know, like with fantasy, I wish I could have done, like, some with, like March Madness groups, like, in college, especially, like, when I went to UWL, because I know a lot of Dollar Guys that did, like, you know, were part of the radio station, like 90, I would say, like, 97% of the people that did, like, a radio show through the college radio station were like sports shows, sports people. So I've been able to do like a, you know, 12 or 14 team fantasy football lead or have a March Madness group with them would have been, you know, pretty fun to do. But, you know, that's either here nor there. So, but I mean, it was fun. So we'll see, you know, how it goes, and, you know, we'll be back to preview or talk about, you know, the games and stuff like that. So, yeah. Moving on to NBA. Like I said, we're in, like, kind of that home stretch final couple games. Like, you know, I think it seems like everyone has about I want to say about 12 or so games left. I'm just thinking of teams. Let's see, because in the East, the number one seed is still Cleveland Cavaliers. They're 56-13, so they've played 69 games, so they have 13 left. In the West, Oklahoma City Thunder is in first place, and did they clinch the conference? They did clinch the conference. And they're 57-12. So again, 69 games. So they have 13 games left. Then we have like two seed. Houston is 45-25. So that's 70 games. So they have 12. So everyone seems to have about, it looks like probably 12 to 14 games left. It looks like it, yeah. So like in the East, we have Cleveland. The one seed Boston sits games behind. You know, they still have a chance to get the number one seed in the conference, but they're kind of like, you know, with, you know, 13 games left. But the amount, yeah, you know, about that amount of games left, you know, there's not much room for error. Every game is pretty much a must win if you want to try and get that, you know, number one seed. But I mean, you know, Boston obviously has, like, you know, the goals of going back to back. So, like, you know, if they're going to finish with a top two seed. The Knicks are 13 games behind Cleveland in third place, 7 games back of Boston. Indiana, 16 games back. Milwaukee, 17. Detroit, 17.5 as our top six. And the play-in games, we have Atlanta, Orlando, Chicago, Miami. Atlanta's 23 games back of Cleveland, and then Miami at the 10 seed is 27 back. The only 4 games back from Atlanta for that 7 seed in the play-in. Toronto is in the 11th seed currently. 5.5 games back to Miami. So again, still having a chance, but kind of just, it's now or never mode. You know, to win. And then we have in the Western Conference, like I said, Oklahoma City has clinched the conference. I mean, well, I didn't say it, but like Cleveland and Boston have both clinched playoff spots. Cleveland has clinched the division, but I mean, I don't know why we have divisions in the NBA, because it doesn't matter. You know, it's just based on your conference standings. Just like the top three teams in the conference should be from the same division. So, I mean, then maybe something like that, you know, if you have, like, three teams in the division make the playoffs and you win the division, then, you know, that's a little a little something that, you know, be proud of, that, you know, three of the five teams in your division made the playoffs and you won that division. And then Boston has clinched a playoff spot. You know, only be a matter of time before more teams start clinching spots. I mean, Houston is 12 and a half games back of Oklahoma City Thunder. Doesn't matter anymore because they clinched the conference. They have a one game lead over Denver for the 2 seed, and then a 1.5 game lead over the Lakers. 2 game lead over the Memphis Grizzlies, who are in 5th, and then Golden State has that 6th seed. 4 games back of Houston. Have a 1.5 game lead over both the Clippers and the Timberwolves, who have those 7 and 8 seed, you know, playing tournament spots at the moment. Then the Sacramento Kings in 9th. They are 5.5 back of Golden State for 6th seed, and then Phoenix Suns are 8 teams back of Golden State, have that 10th seed currently as of now in the Western Conference play-in tournament. Dallas has the same record as Phoenix. And then Portland, 2 teams back of Phoenix, and then San Antonio Spurs are 3 teams behind Phoenix for that 10 seed, which, you know, they're out. They don't have Victor Wembanyama for the rest of the season or De'Aaron Fox, both out with like season-ending injuries. So the fact that they're, like, you know, only 3 games back of a playing tournament spot is kind of crazy. And then Golden State, I think last night, like, Steph Curry left the game with, like, an injury. So I think Golden State won. Let's see. Yeah, they beat the Raptors 117-114. So, you know, we're kind of in that stretch, and, like, I'll be monitoring it. Because the thing now is, like, with March Madness trying to have, like, the main focus of basketball, by the time March Madness is over, you know, that first, you know, weekend into Monday of April, we're about 10 days left. Or I think maybe even less than a week of the regular season for NBA. Yeah, the 13th. Sunday the 13th is the last day of the regular season for the NBA. So then I think, yeah, playing tournament would start Tuesday. And then maybe that playoffs would begin that Saturday, Sunday. I think. It's just like a lot of, like, you know, the NBA generally is put on the back, you know, burner with March Madness, because usually, like, Thursday, that's like a doubleheader of games on TNT, but they're doing March Madness coverage. Same thing with ESPN on Friday, like, they do, like, a doubleheader of NBA games, but they show women's March Madness tournament games, so no one... I don't think they start showing games again until it's the Final Four weekend, because then for the men's tournament, the Final Four games are Saturday, the national championship being Monday night, and then the women's tournament championship, or Final Four is Friday, championship Sunday. So that's how they get back in. So it's generally like, you know, if your team's in a playoff hunt, but you're also kind of watching March Madness, paying attention to that, like, you're probably going to be having, you know, checking, you know, your computer or phone, as well as watching March Madness on the TV to see how your team's doing as they try and, you know, get into a playoff spot, or if, like, you know, they're chasing, trying to get to a higher seed, like some of those teams in the West, in the East, you know. That's something you're paying attention to both. Because, I mean, I mean, if you have NBA TV, then yeah, they do show some games. Show some games. Like tonight at 7, they're showing the Heat hosting the Rockets at 7. And then at 9:30, we have the Grizzlies at the Clippers. Nothing else really interesting. I mean, the Sixers at the Spurs. I mean, the Spurs need that win. I mean, Embiid is out for the season. And Paul George is also out for the season. So, you know, but the Spurs are also shorthanded. So that should be interesting to see who wins. I don't think there's any, more, you know, games on NBA TV tomorrow. At 6, Warriors at the Hawks. And at 9, the Bucks at Kings. So, you know, it's definitely something I'll be paying attention to. You know, maybe every day or two I'll check the standings and see the scores. I mean, I'll definitely be paying attention more when it's not March Madness games going on. So, that's definitely something to pay attention to as well. So, moving on lastly to baseball, which, like I said, will start the regular season next Thursday for the variety of teams pretty much as well. Trying to preview. We'll go American League first. Beginning with the American League East, I mean, the contenders. Baltimore, Yankees, they should still be in it, you know. They have a lot of work to, you know, cut off for them. You know, they weren't able to re-sign Juan Soto, went to the other New York team, the Mets. I think it was a couple weeks ago, it was announced that Gerrit Cole is going to need Tommy John surgery and out for the season. You know, they did trade for Cody Bellinger for my Cubbies. Kind of, you know, get like another left-handed bat in the lineup to kind of go along with Judge and Stanton and some of their other ones. So, I mean, they're still going to be in Boston. I think should be better. Tampa Bay is probably going to be like towards the bottom, as is the Toronto Blue Jays. If they can't re-sign, their goal is pretty much to like try and be able to re-sign Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette. You know, if they can't do that, then they might highly consider trading them to try and get like some prospects and try and get the, you know, organization back on a little bit of a track to get into the playoffs. I mean, Baltimore, I feel like their lineup is very solid. They weren't able to re-sign Corbin Burns, who they traded for last offseason. The Brewers, he signed with the Diamondbacks. So see how that goes for them. You know, the AL Central, oh boy, I mean, we had like 3 playoff teams last year. I think it was the Guardians, Tigers, Royals, I believe. And like they should, you know, obviously I think Cleveland's the favorite in the division. And then I think Minnesota should be better. Detroit and Kansas City, you know, last season made the playoffs, a good start. You just kind of continue that start, you know, develop their players. And, you know, maybe they can, you know, win the division. Because, I mean, the White Sox are going to be at the bottom of the league. Both the American and the overall MLB in general at the bottom. They're setting the, you know, record for most losses in a season last year. Then the American League West, you know, Houston, Seattle, Texas. Texas, I think, should bounce back from their World Series. I guess Haynorth, that's what you want to call it. you know, last year after winning their first World Series in 23. Like, yeah, they should be better. Oakland or the Athletics, you know, they'll probably be at the bottom of the division. They might be able to finish above the Angels, which, I mean, would be something for them to, like, you know, at least try to show, like, hey, we're at least doing something. And then National League, you know, it's pretty much, to me, can any one of these teams beat the Dodgers in a, you know, best of something, you know, playoff series in October? Because that's basically what it's going to come down to. Like, you know, they signed Shohei Ohtani last offseason, and then he goes and has the first ever 50-50, you know, season, 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases in MLB history, wins the MVP, helps them win a World Series. So, you know, and then, you know, they signed one of the top free agent, you know, pitchers. I think it's like 23, 24-year-old Japanese pitcher. So there's that going for them, you know. I think they also signed, like, Blake Snell or some other left-handed pitcher. So, you know, they're the team to beat. I mean, not just in the National League West, but the National League and Major League Baseball in general. I mean, Arizona, they should be a little better. You know, signing Corbin Burns will help, you know, with that pitching rotation. Colorado, probably not going to be doing anything. San Diego, they might hang around. San Francisco Giants also might hang around. You know, the East, National East, Atlanta, Mets, Phillies. I expect, you know, Miami to be at the bottom of that division. Washington, you know, fighting for fourth, maybe they can, if one of those other three teams, like, kind of has a down year, doesn't get off to a good start, and kind of struggles, and then, you know, by, like, the All-Star break trade deadline, you know, maybe they trade a player to try and, you know, keep that contention window open. And then maybe they do that. I mean, Atlanta should be a lot better this year. They'll have Ronald Acuña Jr. back after, I think, tearing his ACL again last season. I think that was in, like, April, like, early April. I wanted to say, like, it was during spring training, but I don't think it was during spring training. So, yeah, they'll get him back, and then they'll get Spencer Strider. Also, like, pretty early into last season, needed Tommy John surgery. So there's that. And the NL Central, I mean, on paper and stuff like that, my Cubbies are, like, probably that best team. You know, I think Cincinnati could be kind of a dark horse. Pittsburgh, maybe. I mean, you know, they have, like, you know, a good true number one ace pitcher in Paul Skenes. But other than that, like, the lineup's not really the most interesting. Like, if they, any of them can take, like, a big step forward as an organization, then, yeah, that would help them. St. Louis, I don't really know. I mean, Milwaukee lost some key players. You know, they lost Willy Adames, signed with the Giants, I believe. And then, oh, they traded Devin Williams, closer. I think it was mostly serving as a closer, but closer slash relief pitcher to the Yankees. So, you know, for them to have to, like, replace those players will be key for them. So I think, I mean, the Cubs division to lose, like, it's, you know, the Dodgers division to lose in the West. Maybe Phillies in the East, you know. So, you know, that's kind of how it's going to go. And, you know, we're still, well, you know, like I said, season will be done next Thursday. Teams have maybe a couple of spring training games left. I want to say it's maybe, like, probably three. Yeah, that's what it looks like. It looks like maybe three or four games left. Maybe five if some of these are split squad games. That's a possibility I can see. But yeah, looks like the last day of spring training is Tuesday. So we should have some games like Thursday, like on like maybe ESPN, I don't know. Like, would they? This would be March Madness, like Sweet 16 games, so maybe not. We'll just have to see, I guess. When we get, like, let's see. Would it be MLB Thursday? Okay, so yeah, and that's Thursday opening day. Brewers at the Yankees, that's at 2 on ESPN/ESPN+. The Tigers Dodgers at 6 p.m. on ESPN/ESPN+. Why those two games? Those are not going to be fun. Like, the Yankees and Dodgers should destroy them. Or at least be heavily favored to win and stuff like that. So I don't. That's a little weird. But that's why I'm not in charge of the schedule. But. So yeah, and that pretty much wraps up this week's episode. Yeah, more March Madness, you know, recap in the future. That's the episode. We'll have, you know, NBAs. We should have some more teams clinching playoff spots and stuff like that. Baseball, we might kind of see chatting how, like, the first kind of opening weekend of games plays out. And then we also might kind of work our way into, like, maybe like some NFL. Maybe we'll do like an NFL mock draft or something like that. Because once we get, you know, out of March Madness and then NBA playoffs start, like, the NBA draft will be like less than 2 weeks away, somewhere on there. So, yeah, nothing really NFL news. It's pretty much just like preparing for the draft. Like, every team, like, free agency is pretty much open, or is pretty much done with. Like, pretty much every main free agent has signed. I think the only main, like, free agents left are, like, Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. And I think I saw Aaron Rodgers' meeting with the Steelers either today or over the weekend. I would highly recommend the Steelers don't. Because, I mean, he's pretty much washed up and done at this point of his career. And he's, like, going to be 42 in, like, you know, this season at some point. Russell Wilson's, like, he's like 5 or 6 years younger. You know, also in the back end of his career, but like, if you like sign him on to a 1 year deal and then draft like a quarterback in round 2 or 3, because I would expect the top two quarterbacks in the draft of Cam Ward and Shador Sanders to be drafted by then. And if Shador does drop, there's a chance maybe he falls to like the Steelers. And then, you know, they could still sign like a Rodgers or Russell Wilson to a 1 year deal and then have him sit behind them and then, you know, maybe play that towards the end of the season or something like that. See how the season goes. But yeah, that's kind of probably our future of April shows and stuff like that. So yeah, thank you again for listening. And I will see you next time. Have a good one.